You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On Radio 1, I'm here with Nick Tieper to talk about Babyface, the Fringe show. How are you, Nick?
Kia ora, Jack. I'm well.
Good, good. The show. It's a one-man show. Wrestling is the theme.
Wrestling. Big-time wrestling.
What's the jump-off point? Give me a basics.
Right, okay, now. Imagine this. You're stuck in a steel cage, canvas beneath your feet, sweat dripping down your brow. You look across the ring. Who do you see? None other but the legend killer himself, the Viper, Randy Orton. What do you do? I'm selling this like it's a D&D kind of choose your own adventure situation here. It's not. It's very linear. It's a show partly about pro wrestling,
sure.
Partly about a child's love for pro wrestling, probably more specifically, and growing up in small town Aotearoa.
Right.
In a similar time to when I grew up in small town Aotearoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, that was kind of one of my first thoughts when I saw the concept and everything, is that I lived in Nelson throughout high school.
Yep.
And everyone I knew who loved professional wrestling came from Murchison.
Okay.
Tarkaka.
Oh,
shit,
yeah.
So that was kind
of
like the, you know, there was like a rural New Zealand vibe,
yeah.
To it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's...
I don't know. I think there's a viciousness in rural kids.
there is.
Having been partly rural myself, it's funny. I spent about to the age of 9 or 10 living in Dunedin, and then my whānau moved out to Middlemarch for a few years. And I really had that experience of being like a townie kid growing up, you know, calling my friends up to be like, can I come run and play at your house?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like... playing Age of Empires 2 and shit,
nice. Yep.
To all of a sudden being in a place where you kind of head out on your bikes all together as a crew and you get back kind of as it's getting properly dark,
yep. Yep.
at 9 p.m. and everyone's parents are just kind of like, oh yeah, the kids will be back when they're back.
They're feral, they do what they want.
Exactly, yep. And you find, you know, many ways to entertain yourselves. I think there's like a real sense of... imagination in pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
And violence as well is part of it. And then there's a kind of a superhero thing in it as well, with these characters that are larger than life and can take, you know, attacks and bumps and injuries that if a real person were to do it in real world like circumstances,
it
you would be paralyzed
lasting
probably.
Pain, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But these characters do that kind of night after night on tour around the world.
Sure.
So I think there's like a real... I know for me as a kid, there was a real like, wow, kind of, I want to be that strong, I want to be that capable,
yep.
Thing. And you know, also just like, they were funny as well.
Yeah, there's a real element.
Mid-2000s wrestling was like, they did a lot of bits. They still do, but that's as a kid, it really struck me, all the really funny, silly bits, like seeing these grown... I think it was seeing these really, you know, muscle-bound grown men doing stupid pranks.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about it. It was like, oh, it's just like, you are like me.
Like cream pie in the face type level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, like rubbing someone's face in Vince McMahon's butt or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just, as a kid, you're just like, what?
Like, that's, oh my God, you can do that.
Wow, that's so gross. Oh, man. So there's a kind of like a childlike joy and play in that. I was talking to my friend the other day, and he was talking about how he I think he was watching a... drop out something or other, some,
yes,
video about how wrestling is drag.
Yeah.
It's I think it's a really beautiful way to think about it in terms of drag. If you're thinking about drag in terms of like gender,
larger than life, and
yeah, and particularly like gender norms taken to their kind of logical conclusion,
yep.
In a lot of cases, like, I think there is a lot about wrestling, especially like 80s, actually not even just 80s, I think throughout the last few decades, of this idea of masculinity being,
sure,
taken to its kind of final logical conclusion.
Yeah, like, this is peak
just
masculinity.
Big, sweaty, mostly naked men throwing each other about and,
yeah,
telling people to eat their vitamins and stuff. It's like...
And obviously, like, the first instinct that a lot of people have there, I guess, is that that's unhealthy, but do you think... And is it in the show about that sort of discussion of masculinity and whether it's...
I mean, the show's a play, right? I don't... I don't really think it's up to me to decide for an audience
to make sweeping judgments on that.
Whether something is binarily, if it's a word, like healthy or unhealthy. I think, I think you can make a strong argument to say a lot of those like stereotypes that get pushed through pro wrestling that like small children watch, especially, and watch in an uncritical way without parental supervision and having no chance to reflect on those things. Like, could definitely, like, inform some, like, shitty viewpoints.
Sure.
For sure. I also think there's a lot of really awesome shit about wrestling to do with, like, determination, friendship, like, loyalty, understanding kind of trust and betrayal. And
yep.
There's value and there's danger in anything, I guess.
Absolutely.
And, And throughout the years, wrestling's been under heaps of scrutiny in terms of, like, its negative influence. In many kind of regards, like, there's that sort of, like, media influence it has. But then there's all the behind-the-scenes stuff with, like, the doping allegations against Vince McMahon in the 90s.
Yep.
Was a really big thing. The idea that wrestlers were being encouraged or sort of forced into taking steroids to keep up with like the visual aesthetic of look that was like deemed necessary to be working in the industry at the time. Like lots of sexual harassment and sexual assault claims throughout like the 90s and early 2000s, which, you know, it's horrific.
But that is, you know, that it's an entertainment industry, and that's
absolutely,
it's not the only one.
And at the same time, like, this is WWE I'm talking about, and that's probably really important to distinguish, is like,
yeah,
there's pro wrestling
peak
as what it, like, pro wrestling is a form of physical theater, right? It's like semi-improvised theater. And then there's WWE, which is a massive multinational hyper-capitalist corporation. And there are, you know, I think those issues of like sexism, sexual assault issues, drug issues, they exist within many multinational corporations.
Exactly. It's the money.
So
really, the corrupting
100% the money and the unchecked like hyper-masculinity rather than necessarily pro wrestling being
like
the issue.
100%.
So, I mean, you know, I think there are other ways in which it can be an issue, but I just don't want to at all, like, there are some really good local wrestling promotions here in New Zealand, like SPW down in Essendon, Chicago.
I've recently seen a bunch of
They're so cool. Like, I remember a few years back, I lived in Melbourne for a bit, but before I moved over, I went to an SPW match at Union Hall, and honestly, it was one of the best nights out I've ever had. It was like three of us went along. We were all big fans of, like, WWE, and my friend Alan more so, like, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground when that was running, and so like going to actually get to go see a local match with like local wrestlers was just like a kind of mind-blowing for us. We're like, oh my gosh, like this is it, you know. That felt like more
visceral, and
it's right there. You can call out to the heels, you know you can talk shit to the heels, be like, you suck, and they actually come up to you and they're like tall people, quite muscular, and they're like, what? And you can like,
there's like an element of threat to it.
It's kind
well.
Of awesome, you know. And it's the space in which like that's actually encouraged, though, you know, that like the audience is the other member of the play. And so as a wrestler, no, I'm not a wrestler, but as a wrestler, I can imagine, like, if you are a heel, you want that audience to hate you.
Because
if they are, you're like, I'm nailing my job right now.
Yeah.
I'm nailing this, you know?
And you feed off the booze.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, like, SPW down here, and then there's Impact Pro Wrestling up in Auckland, which I'm going to be moving up there later this year, and I'm maybe,
thinking
it'd be really cool to see if I can get, like, in the training team or something there and just try and get involved. Because I'm so keen to learn more as well and actually get a bit more. My whole show is coming from this perspective of, like, not being a wrestler, not being in the local independent scene at all, you know, having been to a match one time, just being a fan from childhood and being a fan now as well. But, so there's a bit of imposter syndrome, I think, as well. I'm like, oh, gosh, I hope no real wrestlers come along and go, what's he doing? This guy's an idiot.
How will you think, you know, there's plenty of artists who make art about things they don't do, you know. Christopher Nolan didn't create the atomic bomb, thankfully.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
And you hope that, you know, you just have done the research and immerse yourself in the culture enough to get it right.
Yeah, for sure. I think because the show is really about this boy growing up who happens to love wrestling,
You have been there.
The research, yeah. The research isn't necessarily like, how does the independent circuit work in an Aotearoa? It's actually, what is it like, you know, growing up?
To be a kid who loves wrestling.
And to be obsessed with anything, you know. How does a kid behave when they're, you know. Yeah.
On to slightly fluffier.
Yeah.
Fluffier topic. Who, do you have a favourite wrestler? And do you have a favourite heel as opposed to sort of a hero?
All I can say is, say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry, the Scottish icon himself. I feel like I don't necessarily have a favorite. As a kid, I did. Shawn Michaels was my favorite as a kid.
Yep, Heartbreak Kid.
The Heartbreak Kid. Yeah, HBK, baby. I think I'm cute. had to do it.
That's a certain type of masculinity.
Oh my gosh.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels is, he really is a certain type of masculinity. Yeah. And yeah, yeah. Anyway, a beautiful type of masculinity.
Yeah,
my kind of masculinity. Ooh, sexy man. Nah, at the moment, I think I just have a lot of I think lately, last few years, I've just like been watching a bit more, particularly with these, like the generation of wrestlers that like we probably grew up watching wrestling, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, John Cena in his early career, all that sort of stuff. Now they're that bit older, in their, you know, 50s, a lot of them, 60s, some of them. And they are doing things like Undertaker does with his podcast and talking about the inside, you know, behind the kayfabe stuff that didn't happen when we were younger.
No,
even
it was
like,
very, like,
totally
veiled.
Exactly, you know, very, yeah. And it had been acknowledged at that point that wrestling was, obviously it had been acknowledged at that point that wrestling was a narrative, you know, it's a predetermined narrative rather than an actual, like, competitive thing. But there was still pretty highly guarded about how much they let out about. They didn't want to ruin the magic still.
Yeah.
So people weren't, wrestlers didn't really come out of the gimmick very often. But now, obviously, we're in a completely different landscape with the accessibility of media and people are making a real good side hustle off running podcasts about talking about, you know, what was really going on.
What was it like in
the locker room?
Really?
Yeah, totally. Which is so interesting to learn about. I mean, Kurt Angle is one of the ones I've been watching a bit recently talk about just his career and how he started off as an Olympic amateur wrestler and won one or two gold medals. Like, you know, top of the world in actual
in
competitive
a
wrestling. In a real sport.
Yeah.
And then coming into pro wrestling and just, I feel like, you know, him as a person aside, I think him as an artist, I have massive admiration for, because he really poured himself into that gimmick, which was him in a lot of ways. You know, he was an Olympic wrestler, but then he did so many comedy bits.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. And he really, like, for the time, like, really nailed them. Like, he committed so hard to these comedy bits. And I'm like, you're a serious, like, competitive athlete. And that's not at all to disparage anyone else who wrestles. I'm not saying that people aren't athletic.
Yeah.
But
like, athlete
there's a competitive athlete, it requires, I think, probably a certain, like, mindset to be achieving that highly in something that's so competitive.
Yep.
I mean, wrestling's that competitive, just in a different way. It's cooperative, but then I guess you're probably trying to get, you
the
know.
The biggest laugh, the biggest
that's
cheer,
it, the biggest, yeah, the biggest boo. Pop, yeah. The biggest pop or the biggest, yeah, whatever, so that, you know, someone on the thing's going to give you an opportunity to go, yeah, to be the title holder or whatever. So, it's, yeah, I guess it's all competitive. It's capitalistic, so it's got to be competitive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Someone's got to lose.
Someone's got to lose.
When someone's losing.
Someone's got to be the jobber, you know? Yeah. I didn't answer your question at all. I said Kurt Angle's cool.
Yeah.
Joe Hendry's cool.
Kurt Angle, Harper Kid.
Joe Hendry's awesome.
Joe Hendry.
Speaking
of Joe Hendry, it's interesting that growing up, I didn't realize any of them weren't American. You know what I mean? Because I had a slightly smaller pool of influence from what I knew about. SmackDown versus Raw. Obviously, the really big ginger Scottish guy. What was his name?
Oh, Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Irish. But yeah.
Of course, Sheamus. Yeah.
Sheamus is cool. I like Sheamus.
I didn't even realize he wasn't just like Boston or something.
He's...
It's quite multicultural in a sense.
In a sense, yeah. He's got a great workout channel, actually. And there's obviously Rhea Ripley, who's doing awesome stuff.
Yep.
Mami, she's Australian.
There was a Maori guy who was in WWE, wasn't there?
When was this?
He was on SmackDown vs. Raw. He might have been a Raw wrestler.
Dang,
I'm not sure.
Really?
That was sort of 2003, 2005, I'd say. I can't remember his name. We'll have to. I'll get it. I'll try and get it for you after
2005.
This.
Yeah, please, yeah. Man.
But I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. And he was in a duo with somebody. That's vaguely how I remember.
Oh, yeah. Man, you've just tantalized me. Yeah. It made me feel really bad for not having done the research. Like, the Mardi guy making a show about wrestling doesn't know about the Mardi guy in wrestling. I'm like, God damn.
I'll feel bad if it wasn't true, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That's right. No, even if it isn't true, like, let me believe it's true. Yeah. That's nice.
Should we go with details for the show?
Oh, yeah, let's
so
do it.
Can actually
let's see on details.
Hour long? That about right?
It's about, yeah. I think I said 50 minutes initially.
Sure.
I think it's probably more likely going to be in an hour. I've just got an airplane mode. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check the tickets right now. And so we can, oh my goodness. Okay, here we go. Let's get the ticket numbers up.
Sure.
Exciting. Drum roll. So, okay. Keep it going. Okay. We got one ticket left for opening night.
Whew.
We got Tuesday night sold out.
Woo!
And then Wednesday night, we have 16 tickets left.
Get in Wednesday. Or if you're alone.
Or if you're a solo.
Single human being.
Exactly. If you're a solo playgoer, come to a solo show on Monday.
And very brave of you if you are a solo playgoer.
Oh, there'll be lots of kind people there. I know a few of the people going on Monday. There'll be some good folks there.
But that is great ticket sales. That is fantastic.
I am so chuffed. We've been very lucky. We've had a lot of support for just the whole season of putting this together through the Fringe Festival.
Sure.
And Rebecca Fox from the ODT really kindly got in touch to do a really great interview for us, and Brent from Get In Altiporti did a great video podcast. Who else have we had? Yourself, obviously, getting in touch, which was very lovely. I feel like we've had someone else as well, and I'm blanking. Oh, Otago Access Radio with Jeff.
Yep.
As well. So we've been really, really lucky with the press run. Like, it's kind of like I've been producing it and performing and writing in it, and I'm not really a producer, so really stoked that a lot of those things have just kind of like
hope it comes together.
And I'm like, oh great, we've sold some tickets, that's great. Covered our costs.
I used to run a theater company in Hamilton.
So
I have experience with producing shows, and it's not to anyone who does it like mainly, you know, as their sort of props to them, because it's not fun, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of emails, it's a lot of hassle, it's a lot of like stressing about is no one going to show up to this thing, you know, whereas when you're writing and directing it in things, you just get to enjoy, even if no one shows up, you enjoyed that part.
Absolutely,
like that was fulfilling and enriching and blah blah blah,
and an artistic creative.
Exactly. But as a producer, if no one shows up, you just feel bad.
You're like, dang, I didn't do the job right. No,
exactly. And it's like, maybe you didn't, or maybe people don't want to see that show, you know? Like,
for
that's,
sure.
That's the problem. And I think that's probably partly why your audience numbers are so good, is because it's such an intriguing concept for a show.
I think so. I think the poster's pretty memeable.
Yeah.
And I think people read the blurb and go, what? How's he going to do that? I was at Renegade Cabaret last night. With an amazing lineup of performers. Who was there? There was Tristan, who's doing I forget the name of the show, but it's like an improvised stand-up. He's getting a whole lot of comics to do improvised stand-up.
Yeah.
Tristan.
Is that the one at Emerson?
It could be. I feel like I want to do this plug properly. Okay, so I'm going to... How long have we got?
A comedian. 5 minutes. Still.
Great. Okay, let's use this 5 minutes to plug other Fringe shows.
Do it.
Okay, so, because there were some really, really great performances last night at Renegade Cabaret. Oh my gosh, it's not even loading. Anyway, Tristan, it's like by the seat of their pants, or by the bow of the ship, or I don't know. Some idiom about like doing something improvised is the name of the show, and I'm really sorry, Tristan, for not remembering the name of your show. A very lovely person from Minnesota.
Nice.
Go Bears.
Go Coen Brothers.
Go Coen Brothers. Boom. And Tristan's also looking for a marriage of convenience to stay in New Zealand.
Sure.
So if anyone else out there is interested in that, hit Tristan up.
And you might get to go to Minnesota.
You might get to go to Minnesota. You might get to be trade situation there.
and things.
Woods, wow. Oh my gosh.
We don't have those.
Wow, different kind of woods.
Yeah, true.
Where pine is supposed to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Who else we got? There was also George. George has a show. I'm also going to butcher the name of your show, George, and I saw you in the street earlier, so I apologize. It's the Ghost Boy, Part 2, Golf Boy. There's another word in the title. The Ghost Boy? Ghost?
Yeah, I've
you seen that one?
The word.
George's, well, he was great. He was very funny.
Oh, God, this is alphabetical.
And
there are so many this year, fringe shows.
There are like 90 events. It is ridiculous.
I mean, props to them. No, it's not.
Oh, total props to them.
Doesn't sound.
Who else was there? There was Burley Q. That was one of the shows.
Shout out Burley Q.
Yeah.
Before, and that looked like a lot of fun.
She was very awesome. Burley Q is the name of the show, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Was it Victoria Vega?
Victoria Vega's a good. If that's Drag Day, that's a great.
But I'm really bad. I'm so bad with names, and I can't remember if that was the former names last night, or if that's the name of a wrestler.
Yeah,
could be either. Could
and drag names,
be
wrestler names. There's a whole
either.
Conversation there.
Honestly,
like,
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
come on, like
sure.
that is just drag.
You know,
it is just drag. Yeah. Like, come on. True Bidette as well. She performed last night. Really fantastic cabaret singer, comedian, also a teacher. In Christchurch, does relief teaching. We had a lovely conversation about the preferring relief teaching over being a full-time teacher.
New kids, not the same annoying.
Not the same annoying every day.
Every time.
And also, like, your role is like, okay, do
fun.
The work that you've been assigned.
Yeah.
And if you do it, then we can do something fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Great. Everyone likes to see you as opposed to their actual teacher.
That's so true. Sometimes. Love a relief teacher. Mr. Brocklebank. Tiger
I don't
Boys,
their names anymore.
2010, Mr. Brocklebank.
Nice.
I'll never forget you. We've spun some yarns, haven't we?
We have. I should go because I have an interview coming
up
with Maeve.
That's cool.
You did suggest putting you head to head in some kind of wrestling battle.
Hey, I'm not backing down.
Verbal wrestling battle. But,
yeah.
She's on Zoom, so that would be.
Let's throw down. We could do like a promo battle.
Do you have a name in the show? Is there?
Whiplash.
Whiplash, nice.
Is the name of the wrestler who's kind of throughout the show.
That'd be a good one. And the other thing I was going to ask is, have you seen The Peanut Butter Falcon?
I haven't.
You should watch that. That is a fantastic, beautiful movie with wrestling involved. And Shia LaBeouf, which, you know, can go either way.
Absolutely.
But, like, he's a good actor.
Love Honey Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen The Iron Claw?
Yes. Sad movie, man.
It is very sad. It was a good cry though.
Yeah.
It's particularly the end.
Yeah. And they had to cut out
It's
based on a real story. They had to cut out
one of his brothers
dying because they were like, people won't believe this. It's
too like it's
sad.
Too sad.
Oh.
And also it was just kinda like quite a bit later in time as well.
Yeah.
Like it just kinda happened like 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah like
there
was
oh
like
my
a
God.
Big period.
Just like do a fast forward just so another brother can die. You're like, maybe not.
You're like, have we hit them enough? But yeah, no. And Jeremy Allen White was fantastic.
Oh,
just
hey,
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron with his big old
crazy
jaw.
Looking, yeah.
Crazy looking person and really beautiful, sensitive performance.
Yeah. No,
just
it was great. The Iron Claw, definitely watch.
Everyone watch The Iron Claw.
For sure.
It's so beautiful.
It is gorgeous. Thank you, Nick, for coming on.
Thanks, Jack.
I might try to get along on the Wednesday, was the day
come
with
along.
The tickets, or whatever day that was.
We'll check you on the door. Come along. Come hang out.
I would love that. I would love that. I'll come along. Thank you so much. We're going to play.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.